That was another massive podcast from Stav, Abby and Matt. Dislike the massive end-of-year clearance on now at Austral Volkswagen Newstead with massive savings and a $1,000 Visa card with all demos sold.
G'day.
Hello.
Hello.
Frank Walker from National Town.
He's really ruined saying hello to people, hasn't he?
No, not really. Well, whoever... Do you reckon it was an accidental phenomenon?
Like, no, he knew what he was doing, I think.
You reckon he knew what he was doing?
Yeah.
I don't know that they do. I think he was just one of those people who was like, I want to read my own ads, and then he read them, and then everyone's like, hello, Frank Walker. And you're like, shit, creative geniuses.
Creative genius, yeah. If he intended it, that's really bloody impressive.
No, the marketing person or the script writer would have been like, yeah, it was my idea, you know. I investigated what it was
when
like.
When I wrote down hello, I wrote it down with like three H's, five E's, two L's and five O's. Hello.
I went on a trip to Jamaica and I noticed that the Jamaican people, when they say hello...
Yeah.
That they really emphasize it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mix it. It's got like a Jamaican / UK kind of vibe to it. And that really resonates with the ears of listeners.
I think we may have something here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say it for me, Stav.
What?
Say it.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
In Jamaican or?
The way we, you know.
Yeah. Hello.
No, man, you can't do this. I'm going to give this script to someone else. Oh, you know, sometimes I wonder, you meet people who've got marketing degrees and you go,
Well, you know, the other one, it's impossible to say beer can without saying bacon in Jamaican. Or is it the other way around?
Hold on.
Beer can. You say beer can.
Yeah, that's good. That is
beer.
Good.
You didn't say beer can then. You went, beer can.
If you say beer can, beer can.
If you say bacon in Jamaican, it sounds like beer can. Is
it's like if you say space ghetto, you're saying...
Strap yourself in, Lise.
Jeez. My God, my brain's hurting.
If you say space ghetto, you're saying Spice Girl in Scottish. Space ghetto. Space ghetto.
Now say Spice Girl in Scottish.
Space ghetto. Beer can. You've never heard the beer can one?
I have.
Okay. What?
Hey, I have, but I do, no.
What's
I'm just
the vibe today, man.
Nah, it's just bullshit.
Okay.
Right. Remember those visual? Ghetto. Remember those books or paintings in the 90s, and you had to like kind of go cross-eyed to see like the 3D imagery. Remember those?
It was always a sailboat.
Was it?
Nah, they did other stuff.
You had to look at them a certain way, and then you'd see it, and then you can't unsee it. But to get to that point,
well, you hold it. If
you couldn't go cross-eyed, you just hold it up to your nose,
and then
slowly move it away.
Yes,
and then it'd be there.
That it used to like do my head in.
Yeah, are you looking some up on the internet?
Yeah, on the internet
I don't even know if I want to look at them, Stav.
What did you call them? What were they called?
Those books with the shit in them. I remember in primary school when we had to get books out from the library because you've obviously got to read and, you know, practice your reading.
Mm.
I used to always get in trouble because I'd always try and get Where's Wally out. The teacher would be like, well, that's not a book, mate.
I hate Where's Wally.
Why? What do you got against him?
I don't hate him. I just, those books, like, give me... stress and anxiety.
Trying to find
them. Yes, I just can't handle them. It's too busy for my eyes. My kids have the books, but I'm just, oh no, he's pulled one of them. No. You do them on the computer though?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, so you've got one of those eye things.
So you go cross-eyed and then you pull them back.
Is it a salvo?
No, it's just that the image becomes 3D.
Oh God.
Yeah, that was...
Doesn't work as well.
That was nothing.
Press play, it'll do it.
But everyone had them, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
They were real popular.
And really popular.
You'd sit there in your hypercolor T-shirt, listening to Don't Worry, Be Happy, pulling a book this far from your face and letting it out.
With your plastic slinky.
Yeah.
Which was the upgrade from the wire slinky.
Yeah, the metal slinky.
But not really an upgrade at all.
And then you would just have a ball and you would send your mate a fax about the shit that you'd done that day.
Has anyone still got a fax machine? Do we have a fax machine here?
No, we barely.
Can people send us a fax? Everything's scanned to email, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder if we've got... I hate when you ring a number and you think it's the phone number and it's the fax machine. The sound of porn in the 90s.
Yes.
Hang up the phone.
I'm downloading a game.
Oh, gosh. Doom Online, that was a great game. I used to play
the best. Yeah. We got a fax machine at reception.
Oh, we've got a fax machine. We're going to ring the number. I mean, we've covered off about 18 different topics just this intro to the podcast.
Oh, we're going to actually listen to this fax machine.
Yeah, we're going to ring it. Do I have to dial 07 first? Yeah. 07.
Why do they have 30? A fax machine?
So aren't old people can get complaints to us.
No.
Here we go. This is the when you ring the fax machine sound.
Oh,
Jesus,
my God. Christ. Oh, there it is.
Oh, that takes you back.
Oh, can someone fax us?
I've been dying to hear you say that.
All right, hang it up. Our fax number is 3243-1145. The area code's 07 because we're in Queensland. 07-3243-1145. Send us a fax.
Fax nudes.
Can you? Oh, yeah, I suppose you could fax a photo.
Fax a photo.
Yeah.
You'd have to.
Fax us facts, and then we'll do facts where we read out facts on a fax.
Facts.
Oh, my God, that's genius. Yeah. I actually love that.
Because once you go fax, you don't go fax.
Just the facts, man.
All right, send us a fax, and we'll read it out on the air. 3243-1145.
What's it short for?
Facsimile.
Hey, check out the brains on Brett.
And what does facsimile mean?
It's a copy of something.
Oh, really?
Look what I have to work with.
What, someone who is a generation after you?
Someone younger.
They still have facsimiles outside of fax machines.
Really?
Yes, it's a word that they use to the machine. Like a facsimile is a copy of something. Before there was even fax machines, you still had facsimiles.
Hey, mate, can I facsimile your homework? Send me a facsimile of that selfie.
Exactly.
Hang on a second, man. I'm just counting something on my abacus.
I tell you the time, but the sun has gone down.
Look at the stars. All right, let's get into today's podcast.
Stav, Abby and Matt. Hits
105. Oh, yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
I really hope we don't have another one of those days today.
What days?
Where, you know, when you look outside or when everyone says to you, is it going to rain or is it just smoke? Or is it a dust storm? Yeah. Or what is it? It's been a real haze across Brisbane.
It's been weird, although falling asleep to rain last night was good. I got rain out my way.
Yeah, we got it out my way too. Did you get rain out your way?
Nah.
We're all in different ways.
Yeah.
We're all really polar opposite ends of town.
Oh, we're close.
You and me?
Yeah.
Not really.
Oh, all right. I thought we were close.
You got a class. You crossed the working class man border to get to my place.
God. Yeah. Oh, I'm a working class man with a spa.
It's on Zip Pay.
Is it
$149 a month? Yeah, of course it is. I don't have that kind of cash laying around, Barden boy.
Daily?
Yeah.
No, I hardly get to go in it because when I go in it.
The kids have to come.
And then the kids get in and they get annoyed with it after like 2 minutes and then they have to get out and it just ruins the experience. Yeah. So we sometimes, Esther and I, will sneak down there without the children.
Have you?
That's always nice. No, that's highly, highly unhygienic.
What, putting your head under the water?
Yes. Never put your head under the water. It's very dangerous.
Right.
You've never done that in the spa, have you?
What, put my head under the water?
Yes. You should not do it.
I think I have.
No, you can't do that in a spa.
When I was wild and carefree and, like, breaking all the rules, I was like, watch me, I'm going to put my head under a spa. We used to put apples in it and bob for them.
Oh, really?
No.
No.
Oh, you'd be surprised with Barden Boy over
actually,
here what happens.
Yes.
They don't really bob for apples in Australia, though, do you? That's more of a European
thing.
Yeah,
it's more of a US thing.
I was a gun at it. I was a gun. I used to just slam my face in the water. I'd come up with like three apples stuck to my mouth. I'd spit them out, look at everyone, go, a goody goo goo, everyone a clap. It was great. It's going to be one of those days, Lise.
Yeah, I think so.
Have you enjoyed your time with us, Lise?
I really have, guys. It's been nice.
You don't have to say that.
No, I have. I truly have. It's been a thrill.
We've tolerated you.
This is the thing, right? I think what people have learned about our show is if we hang shit on someone, that means we love them.
Absolutely.
And I like Tubby over there, but he's right.
But I feel that that's the best kind of relationships. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be with people who blow smoke.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like that. I think, like, if you're going to, heap it on.
Bring it on. All right, you heard her. Brisbane first calls very soon. If you want to insult Lise, we're going to open up the phone. Big show today. Jonathan Thurston's hanging out with us. He's going to be in Brizzy on Sunday. So after 7:30, we're going to have a chat to him. And we're going to check in to see whether or not we had someone call earlier in the week saying they once saved Jonathan Thurston's life.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see if that's a true story.
Stav, Abby and Matt.
On Hit 105.
So you having a good day, Matty? Buddy boy?
Until now, fabulous one.
Pal of mine?
I'm having a good day.
You having a good day?
Yeah.
Well, then I apologise. Because you're about to have a bad day.
If you tell me you're pregnant, I know it's not mine. I did the right thing.
You know me, I'm always on time. What's your favourite food in the world?
Hot chips.
Skip a beat.
No pause at all.
It's so bad at the moment. You know how we're giving away the free Red Rooster chips?
Yeah.
I may or may not have stolen a little slab of those cards.
A slab.
I'm at the point of going through the Red Rooster at Inala there. I've been through so many times. I think they're about to say, sorry, sir. You've had too many free hot chips.
You're going to go there one day and it's not going to be there anymore.
Because
you're running them into the ground. But what do you always say?
No one is ever sad. Remember Cocaine Cassie?
Yes.
Right? So Cocaine Cassie smuggled the headphones over to Colombia full of cocaine. And then they had news reports of them saying that she was in jail eating. Oh, no. The prostitutes she used to work with said that when she was a working girl, she would sit in the corner crying whilst eating chips and gravy. And I knew it was a lie because there is no way in hell you can be sad whilst consuming chips and gravy. It's the most joyous moment of life.
Well, it is. But a Harvard University academic and nutrition scientist
is wrong.
Professor Eric Rim.
Professor.
Yeah, laugh it up while you still can. Has told everybody, after years of research, the exact amount of hot chips you should eat in one sitting to avoid death.
Oh, gosh.
I don't need this type of negativity.
Is this an actual, like, serving size? Because I hate those things. Like, when you look on the back of, like, even crackers or even cookies, and it's like one serving size is actually a quarter of a cookie.
Why do you do this to me?
This is a sidebar, but you know how they've got a block of cheese and a bit of parsley on the photo and they go, serving suggestion? You're like, thanks. On Kellogg's cornflakes in a bowl with milk. Serving suggestion. Oh, cool, because I just threw them up in the air, threw the milk up and see what I can catch.
Okay, so how many hot chips can we consume?
Okay. In one sitting, you're allowed, for the benefit of your heart and your cholesterol, you can eat a total of 6 chips.
Oh.
And I'll translate that for our New Zealand listeners.
6 potatoes?
Sucks chups. Just sucks chups, Matty. And then you got to put them away, put them down.
Oh, this is just cafes trying to save money. You know when you get the club sandwich and they're like, it comes with chips, and then the serving, you go, that's a garnish.
Harvard University academic and professor.
Based on what? Like salt and sugar content?
You can eat as many potatoes as you want. You can dip into a potato like it was an apple if that's the way you want to eat it. Doesn't do anything. As soon as you deep fry those suckers, 6.
6 a day?
Do you know what he's going to do now? You're going to get a big-ass potato. You're going to make huge shoe-sized chips. That's my 6. That's my 6.
Because that ruins everything because everyone knows when you go out, and I did this when we all went out to lunch together, I always get chips for the kids.
Always.
You always go, order your food and you go, plus the kids will want chips, so you get a big fat bowl of chips.
Uh-huh. And, you know, that was the moment I thought, this is a man I can respect. That dead set was the moment I was like, he is one of my own.
Oh, he's going to come back as a seagull in the next life.
I already am one.
How are you feeling, Maddie, now?
Oh,
6.
I don't care.
You don't care?
They also tell us we shouldn't drink.
Uh-huh.
They tell us lots of things we shouldn't do, but do we listen? No, we don't listen, do we?
Okay. Well, I want you to remember,
You know, they're also telling us that we shouldn't put stone benches in our kitchens anymore because silica poisoning and stuff. But people are still getting granite. So you got to die of something. And if I die
you
of eating chips and gravy, I'll be happy with
that. He died doing what he loved.
He did.
Yes.
Crying into headstone. A bowl of chips and gravy.
Rest in peace.
Stab Abby and Matt on Hit 105.
A siege is underway at Orkin Flower with two men holed up in an apartment on Coronation Drive.
When specialist police went to the apartment door, one of the men armed with a gun has fired a shot.
2 days ago this happened. They're on Coronation Drive. The whole thing shut down at Orkin Flower. Stavvy Boy was there on scene.
Reporter Stav broke the story. I felt just like a real journalism.
My favourite part is, do you notice, Lise, when, because we have our group text for the show.
Yeah.
The way we report on stuff is Stav goes, Coro Drive shut down, something's going on, not sure what.
Did you want me to go into the field?
Yeah. I mean, his journalistic integrity is like, woo, sky high. But hey, you were there. The funny thing is that now people's attention have been turned to what the police officers, the special emergency response team cops were wearing, the ones that were carrying the big rifles, because a lot of people are saying that they just looked like tradies that were off duty.
Yeah. Well,
there's a dude, he was in high vis and he's got cargo like work pants on.
Yeah.
And he's holding a huge rifle. The funny thing is, obviously, the internet is a non-stop conversation. Mm. And when these pictures went up on Reddit, some genius has said, oh, maybe he was just trying to blend in with the rest of the public so he could get closer to the bad guys. I'm pretty sure the camouflage helmet and the ginormous gun kind of gives away that he's not just there to, you know.
But it's true that they don't look like cops in what they were wearing. There's no visible badge. There's no uniform. They just look like tradies with a rifle.
Yeah, they don't look like tradies because they're not on smoker.
No. Would you be allowed to have a diary in the middle of a seat?
No.
I would say hard no on that.
Yeah.
You don't reckon?
No, it affects your vision.
How?
Well, at night time, you have to adjust to night vision, and then the cherry on the end of your cigarette, and I readjust it for daylight, so it ruins your vision.
No, but during the day?
The smoke in front of you.
Oh, no, you can see through that. You just smoke on the side. Fly to the side. You see the stop-slow guys do it, you know, at the intersections.
Yeah, but so why? Because the other guy's just in cargo pants, and someone says, looks like a scaffolder who'd picked up a rifle and a helmet, and it does actually look like that.
It really does.
Are they trying to blend in, or what are they doing?
No, I think the Queensland Police have given a pretty simple explanation. They're saying that the CERT, what they call the CERT force, so Special Emergency Response Team, they are employed, obviously, in a very full-on, full-time basis, because the training that these people have to endure to get into that special response team is full-on. But what happens is when they get called to the scene of a high-risk situation, they just have to drop everything. So whatever they happen to be doing at the time, they just get to the scene in what they're wearing.
Well, that could be awkward.
Imagine if you're on a bucks party. Yeah. Your beeper goes off. Beep, 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 beep. Uh-oh.
Imagine if you're having a quick nap and you sleep naked.
Oh, you'd whack something on. See, this is the thing, though. You can see them, if they've got time to put their vests and that on.
Yeah.
Like, firefighters do the same thing. They get called out, and they whack their big suits and everything on. Like, surely there's time for a quick change. Because if I saw a guy walking down the street dressed as a tradie carrying an AK-47.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think police. I'd think, oh, something's going on.
Yeah. Well, something was going on.
Well, something was going on, but, but you know what I mean? Like, you, yeah.
Well, I think because we got sent, we were obviously covering the news story. Remember someone, I can't remember who on our thread, sent us a photo of a guy carrying a massive gun and went, oh my God, look at what they're carrying.
That was Abby sent that.
I think that was one of the CERT guys and he just looked like, but we thought it was one of the dudes who was being
one
targeted.
Of the baddies.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So some of these guys have got part-time jobs doing other stuff.
Yeah.
I can imagine that. 1 minute, you've been waiting like 6 weeks because tradies are so busy and they work their asses off.
Yeah.
They finally get to your house.
Yeah.
They're laying the concrete for your back patio. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
Sorry, got to go.
Yeah.
And then you've got you're half a concrete slab while he's off fighting bad guys.
And even more weird, because you'd probably find a really relaxing gig for your second job because you're in such a high stake, you know. So he's probably there going, now you want wholemeal or white bread, foot long or a six? So I got to go get my high-powered rifle. I'll be back.
And you've probably been in line for 40 minutes waiting. Imagine that.
They're like superheroes.
They are, but they don't have capes.
No.
No, they have high-vis shirts that you buy at Kmart.
I think they are the Kmart cargo pants too, by the looks of them. I saw them yesterday when I was in there.
It is fascinating, though, like the level of training they have to do. Like, it's like G.I. Jane. Remember that movie, Stan?
Yeah, Demi Moore. Yes. Viggo Mortensen.
And they put them through, like, sleep deprivation and, claustrophobic things and amazing. That's my idea of hell, personally. But
well, they got to do 10 chin-ups, 35 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, and they have to compete at a 10-kilometre run in 46 minutes and a 400-metre swim in under 10 minutes. And then they can go on Australian Ninja Warrior.
And they all have to do it in high vis, just in case.
Just in case.
And they do, look, they do a bloody good job. No, they do better than us. So good on the police. But that is the reason. We're going to stay friends with them.
I love it. 5.5 minutes of slam, and then but they do a bloody good job. God love them.
They do. Oh, look, I couldn't roll out in my pink shorts and white T-shirt with a machine gun and my sore ankle. Definitely couldn't do it. No, so better them than me. If you want to see the picture of the tradie policeman, we'll get it up on our Instagram now. It's Stav, Abby and Matt. Hey, some of my best friends are tradie policemen.
Hey, it's just made me look at the village people a whole different right. Who knows what they're doing on the weekends?
Stav, Abby and Matt.
On Hit 105.
Can you make a hotline ring? You can ask us anything.
Anything at all, Brizzy. We open up the phones. You take over. You decide what we talk about. 131060 is our phone number.
Have you guys been on the Lime scooters that are everywhere in Brizzy at the moment?
Only in here that day that we dragged one up into the studio and I nearly crashed it in the wall.
I did. I had to get over to the ABC the other day and I got on one. It was great fun.
You loved it?
Yeah.
I love it too. I've only been on them, like, you know, I've seen them in a city, not out where I am.
No, they don't go that far.
Well, I know, but they should because I would give up my car.
Oh, would you?
Can you go on the M1 on them?
I actually thought, I was coming down the M1 the other day, I thought that's going to happen. Some idiot's going to do it. Don't do that, people.
Don't do that. Well, they're saying that more than 50,000 trips have been taken on Lime scooters across Brisbane since they were rolled out two weeks ago.
Wow.
Shit. Yeah.
That's massive.
Sorry to swear.
That is huge, right?
That's a lot.
50,000 trips, which I think equates to around 20,000 unique riders.
It feels really weird when you just leave it. Because there's no racks or anything.
No.
You just leave it wherever you are. It'll tell you if you take a photo and it tells you if you're allowed to leave it there.
Yeah.
And it just feels like, I'm just leaving the scooter here.
Right.
Yeah. I saw one. There was one at Rosalie. They can go that far out.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
If I throw one in the back of the ute and take it to Oxley, is that illegal? And then I just scoot around Oxley for it
It'll tell you. It's got like a zone and it says you could be fined if you leave it here.
Oh, so you're only allowed to scoot where it says you can scoot.
Yeah.
So it's like zone one, zone two, maybe only just zone one.
I don't want
one.
Rules like that in my life. It's like getting in a cab. You know when you get in one and they go, I'm about to clock off. I hope you don't want to go too far. I mean, no, it doesn't work like that. You picked me up, champion. We're going where I want to go.
These are a little bit different.
No.
That's a solid argument.
Hey, Mr. Scooter.
No, I don't want to go that far. I'm not allowed to leave my 2-block radius.
Stab Abby and Matt on Hit 105.
Can you make a hotline ring? You can ask us anything.
First call's time. Best one on the air is going to get $500 for Harbourtown. Find your Christmas miracles with outlet prices at Harbourtown Gold Coast, M1 exit 62.
Mapaya from Pimpamar. What do you want to chat to us about this morning?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good.
That's good. I was calling to see if you guys knew whether the male nipple has a function.
Whether male nipples have a whistle or you lose it?
That was a good game as a kid.
No, it was terrifying.
Five fruits. My cousin used to do five fruits, so he'd grab it and squeeze it, and he'd be like, apple, banana,
oh, yeah.
Or doorknob. You'd have to find a doorknob.
Does it have a function? That is a very good question.
Men can lactate, I think, but it's obviously...
Only
not milk.
If they, yeah, no.
Some
Maddie was home alone once with a newborn and he did try to breastfeed one day.
Okay. Mapaya, the explanation to that is it was with our baby, which I owned. So it wasn't someone else's.
Owned.
My wife had gone out for the very first time and left the baby with me and I couldn't get her to settle. So I just knew Esther was a couple of minutes away, so I popped her on my nipple. And she sued.
Did she suckle?
She did suckle.
And then she was very disappointed.
She was quiet for like 60 seconds and then she knew something was up.
But do you know what the function of a male nipple is?
No, I was wondering because when I'm up breastfeeding at 5 a.m,
yeah.
4 a.m, 3 a.m,
yeah.
And I just see my partner laying there with his useless nipples and think, I'm so glad you're sleeping well.
Isn't it the pits, Mapaya? Like it really is a moment where you just go, why are you here?
And yeah, you just really want to smack them and say, wake up.
Is it my wife used to hate when I would, in the middle of the night when she was breastfeeding, I'd tap her on the leg and go, you're right, babe? And she said to me one morning, if you ever tap me and ask me if I'm okay again, when you fall back to sleep, I will stab you.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how it feels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe there's a doctor or a nurse listening who can yeah. call up and tell us what the function of a male nipple is. Let's... A
little nibble.
Sarah, you're on the air. What do you want to chat about?
Hi, guys. I just want to point out a little bit about the health system. My mum gets treatment every week and they've just cancelled it. And now for her to get it is going to cost $35,000 a week.
Per week
per treatment. And how is that even fair for something that she actually needs? Like, we're not the only one, but it's not fair.
We're getting a lot of these calls at the moment with people who are unhappy with the healthcare system. What has she got? Do you mind me asking?
Yeah, she's got a muscle disease called myasthenia gravis disease, which just attacks all her muscles. And this is the only treatment that works. It's called IVIG. And it's the only thing that works. And now they sent a nurse in to tell them, to say, oh, you're not getting it anymore.
Wow. Well, good luck with it, Sarah.
That's terrible. We get like a call a day at the moment.
Yeah. We're thinking of her.
Jay in Springfield, it's first course time. What have you got for us?
Hey, guys. Just frustrated at people that don't indicate around roundabouts.
Oh, yeah. Sing it, brother. I hate it.
Man, it's, I don't know if it's a simple thing. I just assume the indicator's broken, but, you know, it's either they do indicate and they don't turn, or they don't indicate and it's just and turn, and then they think it's your fault.
Yeah.
And I just want to throw something at them, but...
You're in a company car and so you can't?
Yeah, no, in my car, but I've got to keep reputation up in the area sort of thing. And
Yeah, and you shouldn't.
I actually think a lot of people don't know the correct way to indicate when you enter a roundabout and exit. I think that's the problem, Jay.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, it's never happened in New Zealand, but I don't know if it's how they train people here in Australia, but I'll just leave. I don't know.
Yeah, let's not make it a race thing, Jay. Come on. Good on you, buddy. Indicate off. You always, as you're exiting a roundabout, indicate off.
Absolutely. Aaron in Mango Hill, first calls time. What do you want to chat about?
Hi, guys. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. I just wanted to raise, you were talking about Eddie Murphy this morning.
Yes.
And the fact that he's just had his 10th child.
Yes.
But he does have 5 mothers to those children.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
My father was one of 11 to the one mother.
Oh.
And on the street he lived down in Ballarat, Victoria, there was another family that had 18 children to the one mother. And then a street away, there was another family that had 22 children.
Wow.
To the one mother?
To the one mother. Can you imagine the dinner table at night? Oh. You just forget the children's name.
Forget the dinner table. What about the state of that woman? I'd like, imagine birthing 22 children. Like, so you'd be pregnant.
The majority of your life.
For
your
two decades.
Life.
Yeah.
For your adulthood.
I have a feeling there was some twins in there, but still, multiples. Incredible.
That is incredible, Erin.
22 natural births?
Even if it wasn't.
Oh, by the 19th, they'd just be falling out, wouldn't they?
That is
comments
incredible.
Comments by Stab Davidson.
Erin,
be like a bungee jump.
How amazing is the female body?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, I've had 3 of my own.
Have
but
you?
Try and think... 22. It's just insane. Yeah. I mean, that's Catholic families back there in the old
days. It really is.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
That woman's definitely wondering what her husband's useless nipples are doing after 22 kids, that's for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Stav, Abby and Matt.
On Hit 105.
Dear Abby.
Sometimes in life, sh** gets real. And that's when you need Abby to help.
I'm trying to help you.
Abby's away. Mm-hmm. She's had baby Koa. Lee's Carlo filling in, so you can give your female perspective.
Yes, I will. This but one? Are you hijacking this?
I am.
Because this is something to do with you.
I have a personal... It's anonymous.
Yeah.
Look, I'm split down the middle on this one because I think deep down I know I shouldn't intervene, but I just can't see my friend continue with their life the way that they are at the moment. So a friend of mine and Esther's, is in a relationship. So we've known this person for a long, long time. I've known them for 12 years.
Yeah.
And they're in a relationship with someone that they've been with, I would say, for about five years now, going on 5 years. And it's a terrible relationship. Their partner treats them like absolute rubbish. Mm. So our friend puts everything in, always takes their feelings into account, and even acts differently to who they actually are because they're worried about how this person is going to feel and going to react. So, for instance, they wanted them off Facebook. His partner wanted them off Facebook, deleted the Facebook, but the partner's allowed to stay on.
Right.
Because they're worried about cheating. And you know when you see your friend with someone and their partner treats them like dirt and you've got to find a way to say you need to leave them because they're not right for you. But if you say something, it just pushes the friend away and you feel like you can't help. So I just want to know on 13 10 60, is it ever okay to purposely sabotage a friend's relationship? Because that's where we're at with it.
How would you go about doing that?
Well, you know what it's like when a friend comes to you because they're having relationship issues, you always give supportive words because that's what they're after.
Yeah, they need your support rather than your judgment.
Exactly.
It's a tough.
So you don't judge. You say, you know, maybe this is the reason why they're acting like this. Maybe you can try this. They really love you, although it doesn't seem like it. Mm. I'm thinking flat out now, I just say to my friend, this person is horrible.
Uh-huh.
You need to stay away from them. Do not, you actually need to break up
with
them.
So tell them the truth.
Yes.
From your perspective.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the day, it's not my life. So do I have the right to intervene?
I mean, you do run the risk of losing them.
Yes, you do.
That is a thing. And then a very real possibility.
Then you also lose the ability to keep up helping them because if they cut you out altogether.
That's a brilliant point too.
Yeah.
Well, you've never said that to me before. Yeah, it's a tough one.
It is. Because I know going through it with Esther and myself when we were a lot younger, we had lots of breakups and we had our great times in our relationship. Then we had some horrible times when we were really horrible to each other. And I had friends telling me break up with her. And that was hurtful.
Yes.
At that time, you kind of like, can't you just support me? I am actually in love with this person. But a bad relationship is a bad relationship. And it's not like it's physical. So when it's, if it was physical, if you could obviously go, you have to walk away.
You kind of killed your own argument though there. Because look at you and Esther now.
But yeah, true.
But do you feel that this relationship is particularly toxic, unlike yours and Esther?
Yeah.
Because you've said to us you have a very passionate relationship with Esther.
Yeah.
There's passionate relationships where you have a bit of a blow-up, you have a bit of a yell, but then at the end of the day the love is there and the fundamentals of the relationship are strong. Yeah. But if this is like a controlling...
There's lots of controlling and their partner also cheats on them.
Oh,
and they let them get away
the
with
whistle.
It.
Whistle.
You know, and but then they go, oh, but it's an open relationship, but it's actually not. That's just what is being said to make them feel better.
It.
Yeah, and I'm okay with it. Well, I know you're not okay with it because we unpack the situation every time we see you. So, 13, 10, 60, is it ever okay to sabotage a friend's relationship? That's the question this morning.
Okay.
Stab Abby and Matt on Hit 105.
Dear Abby.
Sometimes in life, gets real. And that's when you need Abby to help.
I'm trying to help you.
I've hijacked it. I anonymously want to share my story. and you tell me what you think on 131060. Can you sabotage your friend's relationship? He is with someone, my friend, who is controlling, has made my friend get off Facebook, but they're allowed to keep Facebook because they're worried about them cheating. Yet his partner hooks up with other people all the time, and now he said, no, we're in an open relationship.
But it's a long-term relationship. You said they've been together for five years. So this is not a flash-in-the-pan thing, and there are risks involved, right?
I want to break him up.
He wants to know if he should intervene. Jane from Capital Apple Bar, what do you think?
Hello. Absolutely nothing you can do. You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't.
Right.
I've lived through this with my sister and a dear friend. I said nothing when it happened with my sister because I thought, you know, maybe it'll work itself out. Our relationship suffered anyway, and the relationship went belly up on its own. And I've also, and my sister and I are okay now, and I've had it with a dear friend, and I spoke up that time, and our friendship ended.
Right.
Ultimately, it's your friend's journey. There's nothing you can do except maybe be there to pick up the pieces. And then you get to the point where how many times you have to pick up the pieces?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So well, it's his journey or her journey. I'm not sure who's the person who's being screwed over.
Yeah.
It's a he. So ultimately, if he's prepared to put up with it, then, you know, maybe it's his problem. I'm sorry, that sounds really cruel, but
no, I get it.
Nothing you can do. Nothing. Oh. If you kamikaze it, your friendship will end.
Right.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, casualties involved,
that's
I reckon.
True.
Talia in Bellbird Park, what would your advice be for Maddie in this situation?
Hey, Maddie, I got your back, mate. I reckon you should sabotage.
Yeah, I like it.
I've been in a relationship with my partner for 6 years now. Hasn't been great. Every time we've had a fight, everyone goes, yeah, look, it'll all be fine. You'll fix it. You'll work through it. Now I've told people I think I deserve better and I should leave. They've all said I've been waiting for you to say it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then that makes you mad as well, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Because I've just put 6 years down the drain thinking that everything was all good. We just worked through it. It's normal. Not realising that maybe he should put back into the relationship too.
You could do, and it's still within the confines of the rules.
Hook him up with someone else?
Well, it's an open relationship. So start sending him on dates with people that you think would be a great match for him.
He won't do it. This is the thing.
Make him. Have him over for dinner and go, oh, this is Tanya. She's lovely. You might,
yeah. You know. No, see, that's the thing. He's like, oh, I don't want to do that. That's what they want. I don't want the same, but I'm happy for them to go and do it.
Yeah.
I know. Don't worry. I've thought that too.
Yeah.
Maybe you just got to find the right person.
Yeah.
What are you doing tonight, Lise?
No, I'm kidding. Oi!
Yeah. Well, that's a compliment. I'm saying you're a nice person. I'd like you in my friendship circles. Yeah, I could do that.
Alex and Caboolture, while Maddie's digging up over there, how do you think you should help out in this situation?
Hey, well, I've been in an abusive relationship myself. For the first 5 years was emotional abuse. She may not even be aware that that's an actual... thing. It's illegal as well. Yeah. You can get charged for that.
Yeah.
There's a really awesome website called if you just search Breaking the Cycle, and it comes up with all your, you know, that you wouldn't even think that would be a controlling aspect of a person, but it lists everything. And it took me a long time to realize that I was in such a controlling relationship. And she maybe just needs to have her eyes opened a little bit as to some of the situations that can inspire once you're in control. It eventually becomes physical, and you know, you get your whole life sucked out of you. You know, you lose your friends, so you're left really isolated from everyone else. Yeah. So I suggest sabotaging for sure.
Right.
Okay, another sabotage.
That's it. I think I'm gonna sabotage. I mean, I'd already come to that conclusion before the calls, but it's always nice to know that it's, you know, backed up.
Backed up.
If you're not, if someone's not adding value to your life, you just got to cut them.
I think you've got to be prepared to lose that friendship, though, because that could be an outcome.
True. Nah, I got to sabotage. I don't want it to be 20 years' time. They're like, why didn't you say anything?
How are you going to do that?
Or you just be really honest. Like, have them over for dinner and go, I'm going to tell you everything once and once only. This is exactly how I feel because I'm your mate. And then we can either just let it be and never speak of this again, but I will have spoken my truth.
By the way, have you met Lise?
Guys, I'm married.
Stav, Abby and Matt.
On Hit 105.
Hey, Alpha Bucks, it's our guarantee week. 10 grand on the line. The letter to practice for tomorrow, the 6th of December.
Is going to be a V for victory.
Love it. Play tomorrow.
Melbourne's gone inside 30. Here comes another Origin try.
This Sunday, the Brisbane Convention and Exhibition Centre. It's where you got to be. Tickettech.com.au to get your tickets to see an evening with Jonathan Thurston. And we've got him on the phone right now. Morning, JT.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, buddy. How are the shows going? I saw you did one a while back. You had Billy Slater and Cameron Smith up on stage with you. Or Cooper Cronk was there.
No, that was Cameron and Billy actually in the Melbourne show. So, yeah, the boys have been surprising me with some special guests that have been on when I've been on the road.
That's cool.
Shows. And, yeah, it was nice to have those two boys up on stage with me in Melbourne. I obviously played a lot of football alongside them and very close mates. So, yeah, to have them both up on stage was a big treat for the fans.
Do you sweat, though? When my mates turn up to parties and I don't know they're coming, I don't know what stories they're going to tell. So you must have been a little worried with,
No, we'll see. I've just launched the book, so all my skeletons are in the book, so they already know about it now, so they can't stitch me up.
Yeah, true.
JT, you say it's a no-holds-barred speaking tour. Is there anything else that you reveal up on stage that isn't in your book?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. Actually, each show has been different. That's what I really liked about it. So we've had a few people that have come to a couple of shows, multiple shows, and after the meet and greet, they mentioned to me, you know, I didn't know about that or can't remember that and things like that. So, Frankie Barrett's been doing a good job. He's the MC with me. And, it's been really well received and people have really enjoyed it.
You know, obviously, Matty is a huge fan of yours, JT.
Yeah, play it cool. You're okay, JT.
I was just going to say, he's very disappointed when he found out that an evening with Jonathan Thurston wasn't exactly what he thought it was going to be.
I don't know what to say to that.
Nothing, mate. You don't have to say anything at all.
Does it end up being like an Elvis show or something like that? Do women ask you to marry them, throw their underwear up on stage? Is it that kind of gig, JT?
Not that kind of gig, but when I've been doing the meet and greets, pre-show and post-show, I remember one of the meet and greets, I had this lady come in. She would have been pushing 90 maybe. Uh-huh. So I get a photo and have a quick chat to her, and I said, come here, darling, come in for a photo, and put my arm around her. And before the lady could click for the photo, she's just gone whoosh, go straight on the ass cheek. She nearly put me through the roof.
She hop a while, did you?
Yeah, so, look, it's been quite enjoyable and it's been a lot of fun.
What do you think about this whole, if you followed it, Wayne Bennett, Anthony Seibold swap here at the Broncos? Is it frustrating as a player when there's all that behind-the-scenes management stuff going on?
Yeah, I'm probably like everyone. I'm glad it's all over and done with now. I was starting to become drawn out. And, from what I've been reading, the players were behind getting the push along to the coaches. And, I think everyone's, it's all worked out in the end. But it should have been done and dusted a while ago when, the players came to pre-season, that they knew who was going to be coaching them in 2019. And I'm sure all the fans are happy now that it's all over and done with.
Does management come to the players and ever ask their opinion on what they want? Because at the end of the day, you guys being happy and comfortable in the team is the most important thing to get the best out of you.
Yeah, that's right. So no doubt the playing group, especially the senior or the leadership group, every club's got leadership groups now, so they would have been consulted, and I'm surprised that it actually took this long to do the coaching swap. And definitely the players would have been consulted on what's going on. And from what, like I said, what I've been reading at the Broncos, the players had a gutful, and they wanted to have some clarity heading into the season next year. And, you know, they got their man finally in Siebes.
Here's one for you too, JT. We got a call. We're doing a competition earlier in the morning on our show where you have to impress us with a story. And you just tell us any story at all. And one guy called up, and I don't know how true his story is or not, but I'm going to play it to you now. He apparently saved your life once.
Oh, really?
So let's have a listen to this.
A couple of years back, I saved Jonathan Thurston's life. They were all down at the Gold Coast for a team bonding session. We had the Care Flight helicopter they do training in. We dropped them into the pool. They're all strapped in. They have to get out the doors and evacuate. I was one of the safety divers.
Yeah.
Jonathan got stuck, couldn't get out. I got him out.
Is that true?
Do you remember that one?
That is true. That is true. So there's the safety helicopter, and they strap us in. And they turn the vessel upside down and just drop you straight in the water. So they show you beforehand how to unclip yourself so you get out, because they reckon in helicopter crashes, people survive the crash, but because they're so disorientated, they don't know how to get out with the buckles. So I couldn't get my buckles off, and I was panicking hard, and I was tapping him down, like just pointing to the buckles, and he ended up getting me out, and I was like, I'm never doing that again.
That's when in another situation you start tapping him and he just opens his shirt and he's got a New South Wales jersey on underneath him.
Yeah, that doesn't unbuckle me.
It swims away.
Well, buddy, pleasure to talk to you. An evening with Jonathan Thurston, tickettech.com.au. It's this Sunday at the Convention Centre. Lovely to talk to you, mate, and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, likewise, Merry Christmas, and everyone stay safe on the roads.
Stab Abby and Matt on Hit 105.
She's got me.
A little bit of a rite of passage in our household. We've got a six-year-old daughter, little Rory, and she's in prep, first year of school, technically.
Yeah.
I felt bad about this. You know how you do this with kids sometimes? You know how they complain and you don't listen to them?
Oh, yes, that happens a lot.
A lot, right? And for a while she was going to bed, and they always try to do that stalling thing.
I'm thirsty.
Yeah.
I need to go to the toilet.
Dad,
I'm scared.
Yeah, I heard a noise.
I don't care if there's a man in there with a meat cleaver. You're going to sleep.
I've got an hour before I have to go to bed. Shut up. But she was going to bed, and as she was going to sleep in that time period where they do try to stall, she was saying that her hair was itching. And I was like, it can't just start itching. Like, come on, mate. I wasn't born yesterday.
Worms does. Worms is at nighttime. Worms. You get the bum itch at night.
Yes, that's worms true.
But head lice are a 24/7 itch, aren't
that's
they?
That's what we thought. Because I just kept on telling her to shut up.
Yes.
Not in those words. I'd use a few more swear words. and then, lo and behold, she had her first case of nits. Yeah, which
I thought that was a late bloomer.
Yes.
You've
done well.
Oh, yeah?
You've done well, because usually, like, by the time they're in kindy and all of that, it's actually a miracle. It's a Christmas miracle, Stab, that you've only experienced this now.
Arden guys, we don't let them in.
Oh, that's true. Here we go. Yeah.
Where did she visit? She came out to Oxley, did she? She caught him out there? Is that what you're saying?
She did hang out with your filthy little kids.
Yeah. It's only clean hair that gets it, though.
Well, that's the thing.
Is that even true? Or they just say that to make you feel better?
No, they like clean hair.
They like clean hair.
Think about it. It's like their house. You don't like a messy house, blah-de-de-blah.
True.
That's what they say.
But what is it like dealing with nits in long hair? Because I have two boys, so it is easy.
My wife wanted to burn the house down and just relocate.
Yeah, right.
Because she got them too. Because she's got long hair.
Yes.
Barton residents can afford that.
and it was quite an infestation.
Right.
Because she does have quite long, luxurious hair. and then you've got to do, the whole family has to do the treatment, which is quite a burning sensation.
Yes,
then
you've got to
follow that up with the sheets. My wife, she doesn't like things on her, so she washed the sheets. She sprayed the couch. She sprayed the couch out on the deck because she didn't want that to get it. Like, places we hadn't been, she was spraying, you know. So that was all. That's all happening. Then 3 days later, you've got to do another backup of the treatment.
Because of the eggs. If you leave any eggs behind, they rehatch. Yeah,
they rehatch. Absolute nightmare. But it does, as you said, it's something that all parents have to deal with, and it's going to happen
this
eventually.
This is the thing, though. Am I just a sicko, or do either of you find it incredibly satisfying combing those little suckers out.
It's like when you get see a blackhead on someone and you get to squeeze it.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, the most disgusting thing.
It's the ultimate. I'm actually like, ooh, you disgusting children, you have nits, come here.
laying them on them to get, hey, come here, throw an eggs on their head to...
Just wedge them between my knees and then I just groom them like a primate.
And then, but there's also that horrible thing about it because then obviously you've got to tell the school and then the school puts that letter out. But they don't name names.
Child X has nits.
Yeah, and you got to go, who's that? Who's
and there? Everyone knows if you find the nits at 7:45 when you're about to send the kid to school, you're like, man, I've got to go to work.
Yep.
I didn't see nothing. You didn't see nothing. Yeah. If someone asks, we never had this conversation, you send them off for a day and then you sort them out when they get back.
Well, we were calling all her friends that she spent time with to say, you know, blah, blah, that you might want to check. And we called one of her friends who she'd had a few sleepovers with just time gone by, and they said, oh yeah, that was probably us, all our kids had them. They were like, what?
Oh my God.
Do you know? And they've got three kids, so I think for them it's just like if they
half
have
of the
gonna,
course
it's gonna happen eventually.
Yes.
And I will say, to be honest, she was having sleepovers there because Kat was working on a cruise and I had to come to work, so they could have said she's got nits, chicken pox and a case of rubella, and I'm going, here you go, Rory. Good luck.
So that's the thing.
That's it.
It's like back in the day when your cousin got chicken pox, your mum would make you go to their
chicken
house
pox
to
party.
Catch them.
Yeah.
On purpose, remember that?
That's so true. Yeah. Build up your immunity.
There was no injections. It was like, oh, well, Kyla's got them. Go around. You get them. Then you'll be sweet. You won't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah.
Miss Maybe that's days. What they'll think. You miss those days, do you?
It's the only time I saw my cousins.
Stav, Abby and Matt.
On Hit 105.
Guys, there's some really concerning news, actually, that's just come out about Queensland renters, people who are tenants of a property, who are letting the maintenance of their homes or apartments fall by the wayside because they're scared that their landlords will hike up their rental prices if they wave a flag going, oi, my oven over here isn't working, you need to get someone in, or this isn't working. They're scared that the price of their rent is going to go up, so they're just not saying anything.
Also, too, you know, sometimes you feel when you're renting, you're at the peril of the person who owns the house because you want to stay there.
Yep.
They get, you know, you feel like if you've asked for too many things, they might want to kick you out.
That's right.
And it's not really fair because as the renter, you're paying the mortgage for that person. So you are entitled to rights
So many houses I rented, you'd rent for like 6 months, a year, and then you'd move out and then you'd drive past and they'd renovate it.
Oh,
and you're like, you're welcome.
So what kind of got this kickstarted as well, Candy, our executive producer, you found something out whilst re-signing your lease.
Yeah, so I was told that I had to get my carpets cleaned every year professionally by one of the three people that they recommended. I called the RTA and they told me that I don't have to get it professionally cleaned. I can actually just clean it myself and they can't actually ask me to pay for someone to do stuff I can do myself.
Because I thought they always ask you for a receipt. They don't give you bond back until you give a receipt. And I thought that was the law.
No, not the law.
So they were demanding that you use a particular professional rather than you just going at it with elbow grease and DIYing the carpet cleaner. They were like, no, in your contract you have to employ a professional carpet cleaner. That's
to
interesting.
Do it.
Dodgy. So to help out anyone who may be renting, we've got Antonia on the phone right now. She's CEO of Real Estate Institute Queensland. I guess, Antonia, should we just start spraying our carpets with Febreze now when we leave our rental properties and not bother cleaning it?
Well, look, no disrespect to Febreze, but I'm not sure that's going to cut the mustard, unfortunately. So, look, what you do need to do at the end of a tenancy is you need to leave the property back in the same condition it was in at the start of the tenancy. Obviously, fair wear and tear is the exception to that rule, but it does need to generally be left in the same state. So if you've taken on a property that had, I guess, the carpets professionally cleaned at the outset, whilst I've been listening to the stories you've just been telling, sure, a property manager or a landlord can't specify that you need to use a particular professional carpet cleaner, but what you do need to do is be able to demonstrate that you have returned the carpets
together with the rest of the property to the same condition it was in at the start.
I would point out, though, in our Candy story, our producer, he's saying that he has to get it done every year, regardless of if she's leaving or not. So that's not
absolutely. I would suggest that that's not appropriate. Yeah. No.
What do you say? Because I got very good at taking blue tack off walls. Very good at it.
We all have that skill.
You use the blue tack to get the little
exactly.
Bit.
Yes. Exactly. But would you say the best thing to do, almost like when you rent a car, go through the house, like almost videotape what sort of state it's in at that time, and then get it back to that state when you leave?
It's a great question. So what I would really strongly recommend that tenants do is at the very outset of the tenancy, there's something called an entry condition report. And sometimes what happens is we're so busy, we tend to just go through that very quickly. Yeah. But it really pays to spend time. You've got time to send that back. Just go through room by room. I would recommend taking some photographs. You could take some video. But just make sure that you do note anything that you can see, whether it's a hole in the wall, a mark on a wall, on the carpet, etc. I know it's tedious, but it's really worthwhile because it can save a lot of hassle at the end of the tenancy.
If you've got kids, just add a few extra things. You know they might possibly...
No, don't do that.
What about flea treatment? If you have a pet, they quite often say that you have to get it professionally sprayed for the fleas. Legally, do you have to do that?
Yeah, so this is such an interesting question, and of course, more and more of us want to have pets living with us. So, look, same sort of thing applies. At the risk of sounding like a broken record, you do need to return the property to the same condition it was in. So, if the landlord's allowed you to have a pet, and it's left behind some little special treat, then it goes without saying that you will need to deal with that. But again, look, I think it comes down to really good communication and have these discussions right at the outset of the lease rather than waiting until the end.
Antonia, I think it really speaks to the fact that contracts and terms are things that a lot of people shy away from. Like, it's the last thing you want to read. Yeah. And it's the last, like, you know, you're just so quick to go, it'll be right, she'll be right.
I know. So you... Yeah, look, I absolutely hear that. But what I would say is spending that little bit of time at the very beginning, and I get it, but let me say this about the tenancy agreements we use here in Queensland. They're prescribed, and the RTA, the Residential Tenancies Authority, puts them out. They're pretty good. They're written in quite plain English. They're not terrifying and overly complex. And if you are having trouble understanding what it's saying, the Residential Tenancies Authority has an advice line you can call, and it's completely free. So I would really encourage people to do that. I appreciate that none of us like to pore over contracts, but it really is important when you think about that this is the home you're going to be living in, and at the end, tenants want to get their full bond back and want to be able to move on without disputes.
Well, Antonia, thank you for your time. We are going to open the phones here, 131060. We've asked before about horrible tenants. We want to hear from you if you've had a horrible landlord.
Ah.
We're going to switch it up here. 131060, if you want to share your stories. And I have one more question which I want to ask you about coming back in when we come back, Antonia. And it's about people who need to break lease and can't afford to keep paying their lease. I want to double check something with you. We'll do that when we come back, all right?
Yeah.
Stav, Abby and Matt.
On Hit 105.
Yeah, right now we're talking about your rental rights with Antonia, the CEO of REIQ.
My question is around if you need to break your lease, right, for whatever circumstances, and you can't physically afford to continue to pay that for the three months you may have and they don't get a tenant in there, is there a way of getting out for financial hardship?
Oh, that's a good question. So, look, as a general rule, once you've signed up to a particular contract for a term paying certain levels of rent, there's a legal requirement on you to pay that rent. If you are facing, if you think the rent is excessive, there's a process that's given to tenants, but I don't think that's what you're asking. It's not about an excessive rent issue. It's simply an affordability issue. So, no, look, as a general rule, the way it works is you are committed to having to pay that rent for whatever the agreed length of the tenancy is. What you certainly can do is you can say, I'm having trouble paying this rent. I'd like to break the lease.
And then there's a process that needs to be followed. So the landlord has to actually, or the property manager on behalf of the landlord, has to actually try and then rent that property out to an alternative person. Yeah. And so if they're able to do that, and they're able to do that quite quickly, then you are able to walk away from that. But it is quite a complex thing, because the landlord has to do what's called mitigating their losses. Uh-huh. And so they can't just sit there and say, right, well, I'll have you continue to pay rent and I'll just take my time waiting waiting for a new tenant to come along. So they do have to take reasonable steps to try and remedy the fact that you're leaving and that they need to replace your tenancy with another tenant. So So it is a little bit more complicated than that, but I guess I'm just trying to provide a potted summary of what the rights and responsibilities are.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much. And Tonya, there she is, the CEO of Real Estate Institute Queensland.
It's Stav, Abby and Matt on Hit 105.
Yeah, guys, we're taking your landlord horror stories on 13 10 60. Christy from Kashmir, what have you got?
Hey, guys, how are you going?
Good.
So I moved into a house a few years ago, signed into a contract, all that sort of stuff. About 9 months into it, found out that our landlord was actually also living on the property, because we were on acreage, and they were living there illegally, and they were also stealing our power.
Oh, wow.
And we ended up having to cop $1,600 worth of power bills every quarter.
Where were they living on the property, Chrissy? Like in a hut? Like how did you not see them?
So they were living in caravans, in like, you know how, like on job sites, how they have like the... Yeah.
Like a donga.
Yeah. Yeah. They had them set up. It was like a family of eight living in, yeah.
Really?
Different. Yeah.
Wow.
And that must have been a big extension lead.
Yes.
All the way out.
Wowzers.
There. Tara's in Seven Hills. We've obviously taken calls before on horror tenants, but we're doing landlords this morning. What's your story?
So I was renting short term because we just needed somewhere to stay temporarily, and I was pregnant, really pregnant at the time.
Yeah.
And when we left, they tried to sting us for there not being... like certain things in the property, like the plugs. There was no plugs when we got there, and they try to make us pay for the plugs.
Like actual power points?
No,
like for the bath plugs, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
And then also, because we were only staying there short term, and I was so pregnant, we lived in the lounge room,
And
they made us pay for carpet cleaning for all the bedrooms, and we were only there for 2 months.
Right.
And they also made us pay for all this other, like one of the lamps, the light shade had a crack in it, and we had to pay for that as well. So the moral of the story is be so thorough with your entry report.
Yeah.
Even that there is no plug in this sink.
Yeah.
And there was like a little bin on the property that they made us pay someone to remove, even though it was there before we even got there.
So that's what Antonia was saying from REIQ. You've got to spend that time. Yeah. It's a really worthwhile investment, yeah.
When we rented our house out on the Gold Coast because we moved to Melbourne, our real estate wanted to charge more every time the lease came up. But our tenants were so great. They kept it clean, no issues on the entry report. They had snuck a dog in there that they didn't put on the tenancy agreement. But look, who hasn't done that before? Mm-hmm. So we let that slide. And I never charged them extra because I thought, if they're looking after your house,
it's worth
$5 a week
gold.
Extra, why upset the apple cart?
Absolutely.
I really appreciated that. Thank you. It's really nice. And again, I'm sorry about the dog.
And the meth lab, I let that slide. You're welcome.
Shut up.
Rhoda in Pimpamar, have you had a bad experience with the landlord?
Yeah, hi guys. It was for my son actually and his girlfriend on this. They had a property on their first night where they stayed in the property. They had an altercation, a very bad one with a neighbour, and they were bailed up in their apartment for nearly 3 hours until the police came.
Wow.
Where their lives were threatened. He took video evidence of it from inside, but not to aggravate them, not to do it from the outside.
Fair enough, yeah.
Then they were escorted off the property, and of course the next day we went to the agent and we told them, as you know, parents not to go back to the property by any means.
Yeah.
The agent told them to go back for another night to see if it was a one-off incident. And then, yeah, I'm glad other people find that hilarious, because we couldn't believe what we were hearing. And so basically this went on to the point where we indicated over we feared for their safety out of retaliation and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
I guess the story is really is that they were refused. They had to keep paying rent. They were offered a break lease, but they would have to keep, you know, two properties running because they weren't going back to the property.
Yeah.
And in our mind, it just wasn't fair that they were asked to go back when their lives were being threatened.
Not at all.
Yeah, so we did everything. We're supposed to report it to the police, and that's another story. But anyway, we ended up in QCAT. And we did an application under hardship, as you said before, and they still refused to let them out of the lease. And the adjudicator just threw the book at them, and said, "What are you thinking?
Right.
Is that not enough to let them out?" And they were then, of course, let out of their lease. But they just kept saying that they were just doing what the owners instructed them to do. So they had no knowledge of the RTA. Legislation and anything like that. So it went right to the end, where at any point in time we could have just given up.
Right.
Because it was so tedious and so long-winded and so stressful for them.
Mm. And your safety is, you know.
Paramount.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And that's why no one's lived beside Stav since then.
That turned really quickly. Before I was a golden tenant with a meth lab.
Yeah, you know.
And they were friends with my neighbours.
Thanks for your call.
Because they found out about my meth lab.
Thanks for your call, Roder.
Stav, Abby and Matt.
On Hit 105.
Abs is away on maternity leave with a cute little bub, Koa. At least Carlo's been filling in. And we've got an idea.
Yes.
Because we've been discussing what is life going to be like for the show next year with a baby. I am all for Koa coming in here every single day next year when we're on the air.
I mean, it's a progressive workplace. You guys are so lucky. We're lucky to work in a place that allows for that. So why not?
Yeah.
We've got Abby on. Hey, Abs.
I'm not bringing him in.
Yeah, see, that was the question. Do you want to keep him with you or do you want to get away from him?
Oh, I mean, I've nicknamed him Favourite at the moment, which I shouldn't say in front of the other boys, but I have been. I like to take him everywhere with me. But yeah. I mean, that novelty, I shouldn't say kids' novelty, but that might wear off after a few months.
Abby,
and people like to go to work to have a break.
Koa's not just for Christmas.
I know.
No, and Koa, behave yourself.
Yeah, no, he is a little, he's really easy at the moment, so I'm happy to take him anywhere, but I just don't know if you guys would really want that.
Yeah. We're happy to have him.
Pardon?
We're happy to have him.
You know,
is that what you want us to say? Wait, I'll do that again. No, he can't come in at all.
I've got an idea, right? Because you're an animal and you're not taking 6 or 12 months off like a lot of people do, and deservedly so. You are going to be back on air with us on the 21st of January next year when we return from holidays. And you were very adamant about that when you left.
Yeah, because I've done it with the other boys and I'm very adamant that I would like my husband to spend some time with him because he hasn't changed a nappy yet because he's been too busy with the other kids. So I want him to stay home for a few months with him. So we're gonna change over.
Well, I reckon there's nothing like throwing someone in the deep end, and here's the idea. Stav's fanging to do this too, by the way.
Yeah, well, every time you say that, Stav's totally against it.
So he's 100% against it. He was like, we're not doing
your
it.
Your idea, and Stav has said no.
Yes.
All right, keep going.
Correct.
Yep. And as you know, when one person says no, I say yes. So
I would reword that if I were you.
Yes. in certain circumstances,
nope.
Your Honour, on Friday, it's our last show of the year.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about us coming to your house and broadcasting live? So we'll have you on the show for the last show of the year and we get a bit of a feel of what 2019 is going to be like for Stav, Abby and Matt. Good chat.
Okay. yeah, it doesn't sound like Stav's idea. Is this because you miss me?
Yeah, of course we miss you.
Oh, you're going to make it sound so convincing. yeah, but we've got the other kids here.
That's okay. We can work with that.
Do I get a cleaner?
That's one each.
Yeah. Yeah, Ego, our boss, will pay for a cleaner. Oh, she's doing that thing.
Yeah.
That thing where the house has got to be clean. No one's allowed to come over unless it looks like a show home.
Hey, whoa, if you're going to get a cleaner, let's do the show from my place on Friday.
No. But yeah, if I get a cleaner, you guys are more than welcome to come over. Breakfast and a cleaner.
Okay, you want that's okay. Ego will pay for breakfast.
She drives a hard bargain, but I love
it. Hair and makeup, if that's what we're doing.
It's radio, babe.
Yeah, you know.
We'll live stream it.
You go out for lunch after.
Did you even have a baby, or did you just have a pillow in there for 9 months?
No, you guys can come over, because you know how strict I am, and you guys have both had your whooping cough vaccines. You're welcome.
Yes. Okay, so what if our production team, I don't think our techs have had their whooping cough, so if we sit them out on the nature strip and we run a really long mic cord into your house, is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, we can do that.
Daz our text outside going, oh, great.
That's going to work.
And tomorrow it's a top of 42 degrees.
He would have had his, though, would he?
He's got kids. He might be fine. Is the pool ready? Has Scotty finished that pool yet?
Yeah, no, it is ready. If you guys just want to bring some spades over as well, just in case.
All right. Friday, we're live from your house, Abby.
It's going to be really noisy, though. It's going to give a bad indication of what next year's going to be. It's not going to be like this at all.
It'll be fine. It's just a test run. It's a dry run.
Yeah.
It's like when you get, the baby Bjorn to see if you're ready for a baby. That's how we'll treat it.
And it's also like a breakup party for you guys.
Yeah, we'll get munted.
Okay, so now we're having a champagne breakfast and I'm getting a cleaner.
Yes.
Yeah, right, I'm in.
Things are looking up, Abby.
So obviously, at least we've got some terrible news we have to break to you.
You get to sleep in on Friday.
Oh, guys, I'm devastated.
No, it's pretty hard. You can still come.
Yeah,
do you want me to be the babysitter, Abby?
No, we'll be fine.
We'll see you at your place on Friday.
Okay, nothing could ever go wrong.
No.
Thank you.
Awesome. Never does. Never does with this show.
Stab Abby and Matt on Hit 105.
We got some breaking news coming out of the newsroom right now with Amy Drew. What's going on?
Yeah, guys. Well, you would know, and a lot of our listeners would probably be listening to the really popular podcast Teacher's Pet at the moment.
Oh, yes.
Which is about the disappearance of Lynn Dawson, the wife of rugby league player and teacher Chris Dawson. That happened back in 1982. Well, this morning that we're hearing that Queensland police have reportedly made an arrest over that disappearance. Not confirming at this stage that it's Chris Dawson, but a man will be appearing in the Southport Magistrates Court, likely to be extradited down to New South Wales, where all of that investigation is happening and charges are likely. So, massive, massive stuff coming out of
that
this morning.
I've got, that gives me goosebumps because I listened to that entire podcast. Like, that was fascinating stuff. So, but I just didn't think it would be resolved. Not saying it is yet, but.
Well, it was quite amazing because the journalist who made the podcast, the case had kind of gone away, and then the work that he's done brought a lot of stuff to light and really got the investigation going once
again. Absolutely, yeah. Because that was back in the 80s that this all went down, and his secondary, his journalistic investigation is what, brought it back out.
Well, tomorrow on the show, actually, listening, because we might go back and revisit. Is it because we spoke to the friend of one of Lynn's daughters.
Yes.
Actually, and she told us how upset she'd been that people were accusing her father. We don't know if it's him who's been arrested, but we went through a lot of this story and spoke to a lot of people.
Yeah.
So we might revisit that tomorrow on the show as more stuff comes to light. Thanks very much, Amy Drew.
No worries.
Stav, Abby and Matt.
On Hit 105.
Good morning, Anonymous.
Hello, how are you?
We're good. Do you know one of these guys?
Yeah, I actually know Chris and his daughter.
Right.
His youngest daughter?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what's this like for you watching all this play out in the press about someone that you actually know?
I actually find it really sad.
Yeah.
You know, the Chris Dawson that I know would never have done this. Right. And you know, people think that this story's just come up and it actually hasn't. It's been popping up in the media now for the best part of 20 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is really distressing for, you know, obviously Chris, because it turns his life upside down. But more importantly, like my friend, this is her mum and her dad.
Right.
Yes. And there's a lot that they don't say in the media I know for a fact that there's lots of things that have been, you know, publicised that are just blatantly untrue, and other things they just don't say. And I know that it doesn't look good for him.
What are the things that they don't say?
There's a lot of stuff about the stepmother, the student that I believe is, you know, she wasn't a very nice person, from what
I have been told. You know, there's also...
Joanne?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
So what? How is your friend, who is his youngest daughter, how is she coping with all the news and the fact that they are digging out of her former home?
Yeah, not good. Mm. You know, this is horrible for her. And, you know, I as I said, this is her dad, but her mum as well. I mean, I know for a fact that, you know, she has spoken to her dad quite in-depthly about the fact that, you know, they wish that they'd just stop investigating. And his opinion is definitely that while they're investigating him, they might find out what happened to her mum.
Yeah, right. What does she think happened to her mum?
She honestly doesn't know.
Right.
You know, like, which has obviously taken a massive toll on on her life.
I know that she hasn't wanted to chat to the media.
No.
How does she feel about her older sister who has been chatting?
To tell you the truth, I haven't spoken to her. I have messaged her this week just to check in, but I didn't ask any of that. Mm. You know, she's got enough going on. I don't think that, you know, she really needs to be talking about that either. I'm sure that I don't think that there was anything that Chanel said that was really distressing. You know, I'm sure that 60 Minutes probably played that story the way they wanted it to play. I don't think that Chanel said anything that was really, you know, because obviously it doesn't look good for their dad. No.
Has she heard the podcast?
I'm not sure. I haven't asked her.
Because it's an interesting point.
There doubt
is,
it.
There is a chance here. Right? I haven't listened to the podcast, but
no,
there is still a chance that he didn't do it.
Absolutely, yeah. And I definitely know that the Christoph and I know wouldn't have done it.
Right.
See, that's going to be hard for everyone if it's disproven then anonymous.
Yeah. And I think that's probably the one thing that I hope people remember is that, you know, remembering that there is two girls and this has happened
of
to
course.
Them since they were little.
Yeah.
They've grown up without their mum and now possibly to find out that, you know, and as I said, this isn't just happening overnight. This family have been dragged through this for the last, you know, these girls have grown up without their mum.
Yeah. And then you've also got a mother who had missed their daughter and always wanted to know what happened to
Imagine
Lynn.
If she turned up now. Imagine if we found out she was alive and she came out of the woodwork.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, you know, the positive is I hope that something does come, that these girls do get answers.
One way or the other, yeah.
Absolutely, because, you know, that's been a big thing their whole lives too. I'm a mum. I could never walk out on my children.
No.
But that she wouldn't be the first one to have done it. And knowing how that's affected the girls would be devastating.
Well, Anonymous, if you could let her know, I'm sure she said no to everyone else, but let her know we would like to talk to her if she ever wants to. We're available to chat to her.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Stab Abby and Matt on Hit 105.
There we go. That's the podcast. If you heard to all the preamble at the start, you'll realise there's not much else to cover now. So we're going to bounce. Bye.
See ya.
That was another massive podcast from Stab Abby and Matt. Dislike the massive end-of-year clearance on now at Austral Volkswagen Newstead with massive savings and a $1,000 Visa card with all demos sold.